You're listening to Razza Riffs with Keith Razza and Alan Lee, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Razza Riffs. It's a beautiful Wednesday night. I'm Keith Razza with my trusty sidekick host, Alan Lee.
Hello, and how's everyone doing tonight on a full moon after Halloween?
And the traffic. That was bad traffic today. Fun. But how was your week, Alan Lee?
You know, I had a very good week. I didn't really get the date I wanted with a lady friend of mine, but she texted me and said that she'll see me sometime next year for Halloween.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's a witch.
Oh, that's cool. I actually had a very good good day. Yeah. I got my AA degree.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, it took me like 7 years to get it.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, you know, I was very happy. But, man, how fun was last week's show?
Oh.
Like, for those of you who missed it, we had Dat Pham on last week's show. It was a great show.
He was a wonderful guest.
Here comes our guest.
And you know what? You know what? Speaking of wonderful, here's Mr. Wonderful himself.
Johnny Lukosko, guys.
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen.
He just walks in, and I haven't introduced him yet.
I'm almost afraid to break away from the microphone.
No need for an introduction. Speaking of last week, this is what I love about Keith Razza. There's no subtlety.
No.
I don't know if you noticed this.
No, not at all.
With Keith Razza. So he messages me on Facebook, and I get back to him a few hours later, and he goes, "Hey, do you want to do my podcast?" I said, "Well, yeah, possibly." And then he messaged back, goes, "Don't worry, Dat Pham already said yes."
Yeah,
I'm like, "Okay." Yeah. And then you messaged me earlier this week. Yeah. You're so aggressive, and you have no patience.
None.
He sends me a message, and like 20 minutes later, he tags me in a status update saying, "Johnny Lukosko, answer your messages." I was on a plane, dude. I was on a flight. Back to LA, my phone was off.
Oh, there you go. See?
And you got pissed at me because I didn't answer a message in 20 minutes. Chill out, man. That's my message to you to start the show.
Is that not all true?
That is 100% true. I don't think I was pissed, though.
Well, when you tag someone in a thing that telling me to answer my message.
No, here's the thing. For those of you listening, we didn't give Johnny a proper intro because he just walked in.
Johnny come in and complain about Keith the whole time.
But Johnny's a great comic. His credits are endless. Dr. Drew, you know, he has a new TV show, stuff like that. So that's Johnny.
Hey, guys.
Anyways.
Dr. Drew?
Yeah, he was
rehab? Did a handful of spots
You're
on
not in
the
rehab.
Show he has.
You're not in rehab, are you, Johnny?
No.
He just fucking winked
at
you.
I think about going sometimes, though. If I had the money. Yeah. Rehab's like 30 grand a month. I can't afford it.
Very expensive. I need it, but I won't.
But no, so here's the thing what happened. If you remember, last week was horrible because Norm was supposed to do it, but McDonald.
Wow. Yeah.
And he couldn't do it because his mom was sick, and he canceled like Tuesday.
You texted him right away and said,
I had to find guests like crazy. Yeah. So I texted Johnny. He never responded, and then Jeff Richards responded, and then everyone responded, and then Johnny responds. I was like, "Oh, we already got somebody, man."
Yeah.
Luckily, but I've always wanted.
Dat Pham won the contest,
but he tends to win those.
Yeah.
With the last
a while ago, he did
last comic standing, and now this.
Him and I were actually next door neighbors for like a year.
Really?
Yeah, he moved in with the guy that lives next door to me. They knew each other, and they were roommates for a little bit. And it was weird because I went to my elevator one day, and I was like. Huh? He's like, "Hey, what's going on?"
Wasn't in Vietnam, Johnny. It was here.
It was not in Vietnam. No, certainly not. But we did have a lot of awkward conversations in the elevator. So.
That's so weird because, he was on the third episode. This is the fourth episode. That's like neighbors on the.
That's interesting.
Not neighbors anymore, but it's close enough.
Like, yeah. So, but yeah, man. So, what was I? So,
what are we talking about? What are we doing?
So, I wanted to get Johnny on it this week. You know, because I had a cancellation. I was going to get Johnny on in December.
Oh, so I'm only replacing somebody.
Who am I replacing this week? Skylar Stone.
No, not at all.
But I was going to have you in December, and Skylar's like, "I'll do December." And I was like, "Oh, then I'll get Johnny," since, and that's why I tagged you on the status, because
I appreciate that.
I wanted to get you on before I write someone else.
No, I'm glad that I was able to get in after your first option canceled.
I appreciate that.
That's the most important thing.
Well, we're glad to have you.
I'm glad. I don't mind being the replacement. Keanu Reeves did that one football movie. Why can't I do this?
There you go.
And he was the best, him besides Orlando Jones. That was like the best,
Yeah. I mean, if I could be the replacement of podcasts,
I think that could work. It's a whole new career.
You know? Now, Johnny.
Am I supposed to be hearing things? I don't hear a damn thing.
Please tell us, technically,
I don't have the headphones on. Should I put
I thought you told me to put these on. I don't need to?
No, you don't.
No.
Oh, you don't. If you feel like that's a fashion statement, we took ours off.
I thought you pointed
why are you listening to Alan Lee?
No.
Oh, good, because it was blocking. I realized I couldn't hear anything.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
We don't need that.
Let's do it. Screw the headphones.
You look great.
We don't need headphones.
I like the look.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah. But no, Johnny, I've always loved Johnny. Like, I mean, you know, we've done stand-up together several times, and you know, I've always seen you at the improv and stuff, and like now it seems like I never see you anymore. You know what I mean? But it seems like you're always
stand-up. No, I'm just kidding. No.
but you're always on you're always on the TV now.
No, I'm not, dude. Oh. Come on,
buddy.
On the internet. Does
yeah,
that count?
The internet. Yeah.
No one watches TV anymore, does it?
Yeah.
They watch podcasts like this, we hope.
Yeah, let's hope so. Fingers crossed. Are we actually on watching this?
Yes, sir.
We're supposed to look at the camera. The director gets mad when we don't look at the camera.
Say hi, how are you? Yeah, this is all being taped, and you'll see it, and everyone else hopefully.
Yeah, and then we'll get.
It looks cool.
Yeah, and this is a green screen.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. So you can do your own sketches and whatnot if you want to.
Yeah,
almost.
That's why I told you not to wear green.
This is you know what? This is gray. You're right. I forgot about that, but I think this is gray. We should be okay.
Yeah, we're good. Perfectly. I like it's a camo.
Yeah.
But no, I remember, man. Like the guys, you know, that I started doing stand up with, it was Johnny. Tom Brab, you remember Tom?
I've known him for years.
Yeah. Grant Cotter, Rosie Tran, Jen Murphy. It was like all these really good comics, you know what I mean? And
well, yeah, Grant and I mean, geez, I started like over 9 years ago, and I think Grant started maybe like a little over a year after me, but like we became buddies right away. Like I kind of looked at him like a little brother. And he still is, but now he's doing amazing things.
Yeah.
So we still talk all the time, and we want to hopefully start doing, we're actually doing a couple things on the road together. That's what we're trying to book for next year, to do like us co-showing together.
Yeah.
Co-showing? Is that a thing?
That'll work. Co-showing.
We're ponies. We're going to go out and people are going to brush us. But no, we hang out all the time, man. He's great.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
But see, the thing that I've always liked about you is like, I don't know if you remember this, but we did Tap House maybe like a year or two ago.
It was a little over, I want to say it was last summer of 2013, maybe.
Wow, that's a great memory.
It was your show.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we did Tap House together, and I remember Johnny's not doing well for the first 10 minutes, and then he kills at the end, and he's trying to get off because he's doing so good. So I start yelling out his jokes that he used to do before. You remember that?
I do, and I don't think I remembered half the jokes you'd yelled out.
like my favorite Johnny joke was like,
in my defense, the crowd was awful.
Yeah, but you killed it, though.
But at the end, it was okay. But they were really weird, and I had to go up at the end.
Yeah,
not easy.
It's not easy. It's not easy.
I think you criticized them too.
You
texted them like.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Johnny. I think I maybe said Johnny sucks for the first 10 minutes. No, I didn't mean that.
I don't even know Keith. He tends to yell at audiences and really make them angry.
I hear you, man.
Before he brings up the comments. It's not a good.
Interesting technique.
Yeah.
That's like once or twice. I've grown.
Or 19 times.
Anyways, but this is my favorite Johnny Lucasco joke where it's like, oh, yeah, my girlfriend said that she wants more surprises and I never surprise her.
Don't tell that. It's so old.
It's such a great joke.
Is it?
So,
you want me to tell it?
Yeah, let's have Johnny tell it.
I'm trying to think. Oh, my God, I haven't done this in years. I don't even know why I stopped doing it, probably because I have no memory left. What is it? Communication is the key in relationships or something. And my last relationship ended because, you know, we just didn't communicate correctly. And she just kept saying, you know, you're so boring. And why are you going to surprise me? Why don't you just do one thing surprising one time in your life? And so I didn't pull out. And I never seen her so surprised. And she starts jumping around the room. She's like, get the morning after pill. And I took it. It didn't really do anything. It made her stomach queasy. Should I still do that joke?
That's
I don't
a
know.
Great
I feel like
joke.
It's very immature. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, no.
I'm getting old.
I love that joke because it's two jokes in one. With the morning after pill.
Oh, right.
You know, and then you took it. So it confuses.
You know what? I'm going to start doing it again.
Yeah. I love it.
It's relatively clean.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, you could do it on Carson or whatever, but maybe you can.
You mean on Carson
Conan
Daly?
Yeah.
Or Johnny Carson.
Or Johnny. Oh, that's going back a bit.
Yeah. I go to my time machine.
Yeah.
No, thank you, man. I appreciate that. You know, it's funny because I'm you know how a lot of comics, I don't know how you do it. Do you log all your jokes on a computer?
I do not.
Okay, me neither. And yeah. I feel like we're making huge mistakes.
Yeah.
Because I've never in 9 years I never have a master list of jokes. Oh. And so many comics I know have that. I just keep moving along, and I think I randomly forget stuff along the way, which is probably an awful mistake.
This is a gem right here to all the comics listening, what Johnny
said. Because all the comics want to listen to Keith Reza?
No, because he's giving a very nice piece of advice here.
Yeah,
because
basically do what I don't do, is what I'm trying to say. Like, I don't know. I never put – maybe I should spend the time and put, like, a massive joke list together. I never did that, and I have, like, six notebooks that I probably just forgot so many things over the years.
Well, you know, Joan Rivers had a tape about her life, and it was an amazing thing. She has a wall of, like, a card catalog, you know, those old drawers of a library card catalog, and they're all her jokes. And it's like that wall with drawers.
Yeah.
And she does not, everything she does goes into those drawers.
You mean everything she did?
I'm sorry. Sure. Yeah. Well, bless her. She's passed away. I was a big fan of hers. Very big fan. But anyway, that's. I'm just exercising what Johnny has said.
Did you really?
I got to do an episode of her reality show. It's called Joan. Was Joan Knows Best, I think? It was her and Melissa.
Please tell us about it. I mean, if you wish.
Sure. It's weird how it happened. So a friend of mine was a producer on the show, and she knew I was a physical therapist. I also have a degree in physical therapy, certified in CPR, all that stuff. So she goes, hey, we need someone to be like a CPR instructor for this episode. I guess it was an episode where, like, because an earthquake happened, they were planning for disasters. And so they had me come in to teach everyone CPR, like Joan and Melissa and, like, all their friends and the people in the cast. And it was hilarious. It was fun. And then she was very amazing. At the end of the, we got done shooting, and she goes, "Hey, if there's anything you ever need, you just let me know." And I was like, "Joan, how much time do you got? Because I could use a lot of help." But no, she was great. Got a picture with her and Melissa, and it was a fun experience.
Did you ever get her autograph?
Got to work with Joan Rivers. The picture was cool. You know what though? My parents saw her. Did my parents? Yeah, my parents saw her, and they took that picture with them, and they got an autograph.
Yeah.
So that's what my parents do. Anytime, like, I work with someone,
they take,
like, Gabriel Iglesias, they took a picture. They sat front row to see him a few months ago, and they took a picture of him and I together and got it autographed.
That's so cool.
I love doing that kind
of thing. See, the thing is, like, I collect autographs, you know?
All right.
So, like, whenever, and it's weird because I'm a comic, and whenever I do shows with, like, somebody big, I feel so weird because, like, instead of talking about stand-up, first I ask for their autograph, then I talk about stand-up.
Yeah, you might want to wait for the autograph at the end of the conversation.
Yeah, I don't really do. No. You know, but see, like, I don't see social cues that well. So, like, I always, you know I have Asperger's.
I know that. Yeah.
So
there's different levels of it. Yours is, to me, a mild case.
Yeah. Well, you know what was weird is, like, I saw Johnny on Dr. Drew, and they were talking about Adam Lasagna, you know, the kid who was that the one?
The kid who was that? Who was he again?
He was the kid who, like, killed everyone at the schools and stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah. I don't think that was my episode. I did,
but,
like,
but they mentioned it. I know for a fact they mentioned it because,
dark way.
Because, you know, Alan, I don't know if you watched the show, but, like, Dr. Drew's on, there's, like, four.
I'll be honest. It's hard to watch. I did it because they asked me to. I guess they were researching some other guy, and they saw an interview I did with this kid. I hosted a show called Access Live last year, and they liked me from the interview, so they brought me in. And then they were like, "Oh, you have a healthcare degree." I was like, "Yeah." They're like, "All right, well then, you know, you're a comedian, physical therapist." And I actually, Drew's a great guy. I actually helped him with his shoulder a little bit. But the show itself, I did like four episodes, and then I think they had a turnover in staff, and I never bothered trying to get back on because it's just, it's like people just shouting over each other, and nothing gets there's no resolution. It's just, okay, here's a problem in society. Let's all yell at each other about it. Nothing gets decided. An hour of your life is over with.
Oh,
I'm not trying to crap on the show.
I remember you said something, and you were like, well, let's be honest, she probably deserved it. And right when you saw it, like, the lady who was, like, arguing with you, her face just, like, I was like, oh, my God.
Well, they wanted me to push buttons on the show. They wanted me to say, you know, different kind of things. And the funny thing is the last thing I did on the show, because I had a feeling, I was like, I don't know how much longer I'm going to do this. So I had an idea. We're talking about Dennis Rodman going to North Korea. So this is, like, back in January. And I said, hey, I have an idea. I have sunglasses with me. I'm going to make a really awful, like, comment about Dennis Rodman and put my sunglasses on like I'm David Caruso. At the beginning of what shows you on NCIS?
Yeah, right.
And so we're talking about Dennis Rodman, about all the dumb stuff he's doing, whatever.
Sure.
And so Drew's like, Johnny, I understand you want to close out the segment with something. I said, so look at the camera. I go, yeah, if I could channel my inner David Caruso when it comes to this story. looks like this is one situation where Dennis Rodman won't be able to rebound. And I put my sunglasses on. And I don't know if it tanked or not, because there's no laugh track or anything, but that was the last time I was on the show.
Yeah.
So if I'm going out, I was going out big.
There what, you go.
That's well, see, funny. I watched that show because I watch Nancy Grace a lot. You know, like
oh,
I think,
sorry.
Well, I honestly think Nancy Grace is the funniest person. And I don't think she knows she's the funniest person.
She is hilarious.
You know what I mean? Like
angry.
Yeah.
She's one of my favorite people to impersonate. I love Nancy.
Oh, Harris. do your impression.
I'm not doing it in another show.
Come
it's
on.
Just, it's fun to do. Like, give me a blonde wig and I'll just get a bad sweater. I'll just go off.
I could do it, but it's not that
do
funny.
Do it. Make it happen.
All right, I'll be
your Nancy Grace.
Let's hear,
do you want me to talk to you like I'm a guest and you
yeah,
just berate me?
Yeah, yeah.
Nancy, when it comes down to it, it's not always everyone
else's fault. No, you stop. That's murder, okay? That's murder, okay? If you go out there and you shoot a guy and you rob 7-Eleven, it's still murder. I don't care if it's self-defense or not. Okay.
Nancy,
Barbara, cut him off, okay?
Nancy, we're
he's
talking
ruining
about a daycare.
My show.
We're not even talking about...
Oh,
pretty
wow.
good.
Yeah, it's pretty good, man.
Very good.
I just everyone that comes on the show is like, why would you even go on that show unless you just unless you want amazing footage that you could show your family? Like, look at this bitch yell at me.
Yeah.
Like, why else would you want to go on that show?
It's like with Nancy Grace, you can't win even if you have a good, you know.
Even if you're on her side, like even if you, even if like you're you know the Man of Steel and you lifted up a school bus
yeah.
to save it from going off a bridge, like, well, you know what, you did thousands of dollars of damage to that bridge, okay, and those children got wet, like that's she would not. She'd
yeah.
be so awful.
Boy, you guys are channeling this lady very well.
No.
I'm a fan.
Well, that's the thing. I am a fan, too.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Just because she's so entertaining.
Yeah. Like, I don't think she's, you know, I
like
think half the stuff she says
craziness.
Is wrong,
yeah.
but I think her show's very good.
I just love the fact that, like, her commercials are so sincere. She's like, when it comes down to it, I'm just here to help. And then, like, real serious face.
And then 5 minutes later, she's like, no, it's yeah. still murder. It's still murder.
I am so hot right now. Go to commercial.
Now, Johnny, about back to stand-up.
What's up?
What was your worst experience at a show?
Oh, man.
Because, I mean, I've had so many of those.
Really? Like, because you've been, how long have you been in the game now?
Oh, God. Long time, probably 8 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you started off where?
I started off at Fenders in Fullerton.
Okay, I didn't know. Yeah, I thought you started in Orange County. I wasn't
yeah.
sure, though.
You did Fenders, right?
Back in the day, yeah, actually.
See, I told you.
Railroad
Alan's
tracks.
Like,
I
oh,
was there. I don't
middle
remember.
Of
I was
nowhere.
Absent
yeah.
one of those days.
Yeah.
I remember Johnny used to do this place called Flight Bistro all the time. It was
oh,
in Huntington
that was
Beach.
In Huntington Beach.
Yeah.
Way down with Bill Word.
It was a Bill Word thing.
Oh, yeah. Bill gave me so much stage time starting off. It wasn't for – I owe a lot to him because
yeah.
there was – you know, I started at a good time. If there's ever a good time to start – I think it's hard to start comedy in – Southern California, like it's hard to start in L.A. or Orange County. Like I think it's so much better to start in a random city to where younger in your career you can work with headliners when they come in. Like I have a lot of friends who started, say, in Seattle or like, you know, Northern California or mm-hmm. or any mm-hmm. other city like Indianapolis. Yeah. So we're like, yeah. you know, the talent pool is a lot smaller. So therefore, you're working with good comics way early
oh,
in your career.
Interesting. That's an interesting
and you
point.
Get a lot of good stage time. Yeah. You get a lot of experience. Whereas, you know, I just start off in Orange County because that's where I moved.
Yeah.
From yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Sure.
You start off in Orange County, you're not working with anyone. You're just struggling to get stage time. And
sure.
so luckily, you know, Martini Blues was still going in
yeah,
Orange County.
One of the Martini Blue guys.
Yeah. yeah. And we had
that
Tuesday,
was a fun
Wednesday
venue.
Nights,
yeah.
The contest, you name it. And tons of stage time. Like Grant and I were literally, that was our life. We would just pretty much every week, we'd be there a couple times a week. And then,
yeah.
You know, you just try to progress from there. But yeah, it was a good way to start, I think.
Now, see, you talk about working with all these guys, but I know you've worked with hundreds of great guys, you know what I mean? Because I remember you used to have a show at the Brea Improv called Last Call Comedy.
Way back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
And I remember I went a couple
back when
times.
People came out the comedy show.
Yeah, and I went a couple times, and I remember it was a weekend you were hosting for David Alan Greer.
That was amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
That was about 4 years ago now, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Living Color is my favorite show of all time. So
yeah.
being able to work with him was just, I was trying not to be a fanboy like the whole weekend. Because he was my favorite person on in Living
on
Color.
The show.
Yeah. Like, I know everyone goes crazy about Jim Carrey and justifiably
sure.
so. But David Alan Greer to me had the most, the most range.
Sure, and the sketches, when he did sketches, they were hilarious, the way he did characters.
Still amazing. I mean, he's done everything. He's done Broadway, you know, Tony Awards. And
imagine, Tony Awards.
Yeah. So, yeah, working Weekend with him is just
wow. Yeah, and crazy. Now, when you work with Weekend with that stuff, that, like, obviously strengthens you, you know, like, because you get, what, five shows?
Yeah, you get five shows. I mean, when you're hosting, though, it's a little bit difficult because you're obviously going up to a cold crowd. You're not doing as much time.
Yeah.
The best way to build time is when you're featuring or when you're doing long sets. But at the same time, I'm not going to say no to a weekend at the improv.
Yeah. You know? I mean, like, because, like, when I hosted for Norm at Irvine and Brea, you know, I learned so much in just those four or five shows, like, that I learned in years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like you're watching someone who's, you know, so good at that. And I know David's not the only person you've hosted for. You've hosted for...
Yeah, you know, a lot of great comics. And a lot of times I'll just sit there and watch. I mean, sometimes you get tired of watching stand-up, but you work with the right people. You could sit there in the back and you can watch, see how they go, you know, every single night as far as, like, do they do the same set? Do they change things around?
Change the dynamics.
How do they deliver? Like, how do they utilize the amount of words that they're saying? Like, there's some comics, like... You know, Sebastian Maniscalco, he gets more mileage per word than any comic in history, I think.
Really?
He's a genius. Yeah, I mean, just
I've never met him.
Oh, he's incredible. Yeah. But, you know, you do learn a lot if you're watching.
Yeah.
And then some shows, though, are tough to watch. You're like, I want to get up right now. But you can't do it.
Have you ever, like, seen a... Alan and I were talking about this in the car. And, like, you know that word bomb? You know
B-O-M-B?
Yeah.
The one you can't see on a plane?
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, but I think comics, when they bomb and, like, say, like, because, like, I bomb all the time, you know what I mean? And Alan, when I bomb, Alan will say, hey, you bombed. Like, some comics will think, hey, that means you're not funny, but really it just means you're not funny that night. You know what I'm saying?
It's not even, to me, it doesn't even mean that you're not funny that night. To me, it just means that you're unique enough for a crowd to not like you.
Thank you.
That's
I like that.
Thank you.
I mean, you know what? When it comes down to it, you know, I don't want to be the kind of dude that does well in every show. Because to me, like, a lot of comics, you look at how many years it takes some people. Some people get their break earlier than others. But, like, you look at some of your favorite comics right now. You look at a guy like, you know, whether it be Bill Burr or Louis C.K., they're 25 years in.
Yeah.
You know, and they're the best at what they do. And if you're the kind of comic, they certainly aren't the kind of comics that every crowd is going to relate to.
No,
that's
but
true.
That means they're saying something. If you're the kind of comic that every crowd loves, then you're going to be on a cruise ship. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I don't want to be one of those dudes that's on a cruise ship all the time.
That's true, because, like, I think comedy is about taking risks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like you know, you say Louis C.K. and Bill Burr, you know, they've been doing it for, you know, 25 years, and I can guarantee you when they just started, you know, when they were 9 or 10 years, they were probably still good, but they were not, you know, they were still... Okay, you know what I mean? I guarantee you they bombed all the time.
Well, Louis C.K. has mentioned that in a Vanity Fair article just recently, that even to this day he tests 100 shows on certain material, and it will fall flat.
Yep, and that's what you have to do. The hardest part, though, is when you're not getting up every single night because you're not well-known, you don't have enough credits. That's the thing you have to worry about, because you're like, oh, well, I want to do well enough, but at the same time I have to be myself and I have to do jokes that people might remember, and that's the hard part. But to me, it's like I don't want to be the kind of guy that I generally write clean. It's not like I'm a blue comic or anything, but I want to talk about what I want to talk about, and I don't want to relate. I don't want certain audiences relating to me.
Exactly.
Like when I do colleges, colleges are great. Most of the kids are smart, but at the same time, I don't want to get up there and dance with a Batman mask on because I. Just to do well.
Because it's like you're getting handcuffed and you got to see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's funny that
to each his own. I mean, people got to do what they got to do to survive. So.
Thank you.
It's funny that you mentioned credits and stuff. I mean, this is a serious question. You don't have to answer this if you don't want to. But have you ever, like, lied about your credits just to get on a show?
Nah.
No? Because I know there's comics who have done that.
Oh, of course.
Like, when I did Taff House, guys would write me and be like, oh, yeah, I've been on, you know... Family Guy. It's like, it's like, really? Like, I've never.
No. Here's the thing. Now, I've done shows where a host will be like, what should I say about you? And I'm like, I don't care. And they'll make shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah, incredible stuff. Yeah.
Right. Which sounds so much I'm like, man, I wish I was that guy. Yeah. You know?
I know.
But what? There's no point lying about it. I mean, I don't have a ton of credits. I just, if people want credits, I'll just tell them what I'm doing and whatever.
Yeah. One time, the host, I did a show with Richard Villa, and the host asked me what to say, and I just said, just tell him the truth. You know, funny guy, you know. Don't say any credits because I don't have any. You know what I mean? So he goes up and he's like, all right, you've seen him on Late Night. And I was like, you're putting the standards a little high.
You should have went up and given an exact date. Yes, April 7th, 2009. YouTube it.
I'd be like, you'll see me on Late Night in the year 2019. I think that's what he meant to say.
Oh, hey.
You know, but hope it doesn't take me that long.
No, I told him once I was opening at the sauna at the LA Fitness over in Gower.
Okay.
And it was totally true. You know how tough a sauna is?
There's a show.
I'm just, you know.
God, I was like, wait a minute. Talk about sweating.
Thank you.
You got Johnny to sweat.
Good Lord. But you talk about, you hope it doesn't take you that long. Honestly, you can't even put a time limit on it. When I first started, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be on TV within 6 years. And I wasn't. And here I am 9 years in. I've done a couple of TV things, but nothing late night, nothing national. And am I frustrated by that sometimes? Yeah. But a lot of it's my own fault. I'm not that aggressive.
I remember I kind of blew it for you. Like 2 years ago, they were doing this stand-up competition for late night. Do you remember this?
Oh, the one for Conan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got in the final five.
Yeah, Johnny got in the final five. And my buddy and Johnny were, you know, in the final five.
Oh, Comro?
Comro.
Yeah, of course you went with the kid with a disability.
Yeah.
Because he voted for him. Thanks, Keith and Sam.
There you go.
Sam's hilarious.
He
deserved to win. There's no way.
Yeah.
He deserved it.
Sam has a Tourette's, you know, which is not Asperger's. It's Tourette's. Tourette's is where, like, you twitch and you curse all the time.
Well, not necessarily curse. There's different levels of Tourette's, just like Asperger's. Sam's not the kind of guy that has that kind of Tourette's.
Yeah, but he twitches a lot, especially when he's on stage. Anyways, the point is like, they were both in the finals, and I posted on Facebook because I found out who won. And I thought Johnny already knew because I figured, you know, when you find out if you win or lose, they call you immediately.
Not in this contest.
No. So I felt bad because, and then Johnny like posted sass. So I guess I lost. I was like,
That's right. Honest to God, I didn't expect to win. The fact that I got in the final five was good. I feel like I probably should have followed up with the people there and maybe submitted a set since then. And I haven't.
Yeah.
And I feel like one of the things I need to do for next year is to actually sit down. Because, like, as comics, some people – I'm the kind of guy that, like, I have a hard time liking what I'm doing. And so it's, like, to sit down and say, okay, I think this would make a good late-night set. Like, I need to just sit down and just try to submit something and try to work my way into to doing something.
Yeah. I've never submitted. I should do that. I think I'm too scared because – get rejected for comedy festivals. I don't want to get rejected by submitting.
Comedy festivals, you got to remember, they're same here. The comedy festivals are very subjective and political in a lot of ways. A lot of times they'll let you in if they know you or if you're friends with the person who books it. So that's just how it goes.
But it's
you can't take offense to anything.
No, I know, but it's like, you know, give me $35, send a set, and then you don't hear from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, wish I had at least $15 back. You know what
I mean? Yeah, exactly. That's always the weird thing is when festivals will charge you, and then it's like, you know, you're just giving them $35.
Yeah, and then, like, you find out, like, you know, you don't want to brag, but you find out there's comics out there that you know you're better that got accepted. You're like, all right, whose dick are we sucking? You know
what are you going to do?
Yeah. You had a question, Alan Lee?
Well, I was listening to Johnny earlier today, and I do find that set that he talks about rap very funny. And what I found really interesting about that is that he commented about the Beach Boys.
I love them.
And it's hilarious. Yes, you love them. But he knew that the Beach Boys had been associated with Charles Manson.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious because nobody, I mean, people in general don't know that small fact, but it's really freaky because
I'm a Beach Boys historian.
Oh, wait, my God.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I grew up.
I have a musician that is just a freak, you know, about the Beach Boys.
Him and I should hang out and write some songs.
Yeah.
write some beach music.
Charlie Manson was in the Beach Boys?
Yeah,
I'll tell you the story.
Tell them the story.
Tell us the story.
Go ahead.
So I grew up, thanks to my dad, I grew up listening to a lot of oldies and Beach Boys and then, of course, Weird Al. That was like what I listened to growing up. Those it was weird, but it was awesome. And I've always loved the Beach Boys. Still listen to them. I'm still always searching for like unreleased Beach Boys tracks, whatever I can do. And I've read books about them, and their whole career is fascinating. Because to me, there's been no artist like them ever in history. They literally came up with a whole new genre of music, and acid rock kind of killed them. But they're still touring. I mean, they're on a 50th anniversary tour. And
exactly.
I saw them 2 years ago, I think it was. But yeah, so what happened was the Beach Boys, they had a really weird phase. Brian Wilson was out of his mind for a couple years. I don't think he left his house for like 2 years at one point.
Correct.
Another time they found him down in a gutter near San Diego. He was a lot of drugs, but he also
he's like a genius. He's like a genius.
Yeah, he's manic depressive, unmedicated, but medicated with street drugs, so all over the place.
So he has Asperger's.
Maybe. Could have been Asperger's. I mean, the one time they had a house and he purposely had sand put all over the living room of the house.
Oh, yeah.
Granted, he had never been in water. That's the thing. He was one of the Beach Boys and didn't touch water till he was 38. He was terrified
amazing?
Of the ocean.
And all the surfer theme
That's
songs.
What you call ironic, yeah. Beach Boys.
Quite ironic. Yeah. Quite ironic.
A little bit. So one of the other Beach Boys, one of the other brothers, Dennis, was the drummer. Great drummer, also out of his mind, ended up drowning to death underneath a spot where his old boat was. It was almost like he wanted to go at that moment.
Yeah.
He became friends with an up-and-coming singer named Charlie Manson. They hung out a lot. Manson had a lot of chicks, and Dennis was basically a sex addict. So they all started hanging out together, and of course they had a big house.
Wow.
Dennis started inviting Charlie and these chicks over to the house. But he would creep out the rest of the Beach Boys till finally they had enough of him, and they're like, dude, get that guy out of the house.
Wow.
But they actually recorded some songs together.
Wow,
that I've never heard those songs.
Well, there was one single that was released. I do have it. I forget the name of it right now. But initially, Charlie Manson, if you look under like written by.
Was it called Helter Skelter?
No, it wasn't that one. It wasn't that one. But it was written by like B. Yeah. Wilson, D. Wilson, C. Manson. That was the initial. Now his name's off it, of course.
Yeah.
But there was one single that got released, and I forget the name of it. I do have it, though. And it's weird. It's a weird song. But he was credited as a writer. Because they wrote songs together, they did.
That's incredible.
Known that. You could hear him. You could learn more from Johnny than Wikipedia.
Well, he's quite an expert on the Beach Boys.
Yeah. And that's why it's fun to do that bit because and the thing is though, that's another joke that doesn't always do well
because they don't follow the line of.
It depends on if you're in front of a crowd that's really really young and the way that I deliver that joke and deliver the punchline where I'm comparing rappers to like you know rappers that are trying to be hard and like oh yeah you know I'm a gangster it's like no
little deuce coupe
yeah
like the Beach Boys hung out with Charles Manson you're not a thug but like a lot of audiences don't get it and they're like wait
it's
what
great, it's such a great line of thought you know
that's true though
yeah.
I haven't done that joke in so long, I forget how to tell it.
That's another one you got to bring back, man.
No, I do. I've been leaving that out of a lot, the big hip-hop bit I do, but I got to bring it back in.
Baby boomers.
I forget how to do it. Yes, exactly. Love the Beach Boys.
Now, we got a cellular phone call.
Really?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Put on the headphones and let's talk.
Let's see who...
Hello, this is the cellular phone call. You're on the air with Johnny Lacosco. Oh,
I can't hear anything. You said my name.
Can you hear Johnny?
Hi guys.
Hi. Who is this?
How's it going?
Good.
Very good. Hi.
Hi.
What's
I was listening to you guys about the Beach Boys. I love the Beach Boys.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
She loves it.
If you want to get married, let's do this.
All right.
Wait, what's your name?
Morgan.
This is our first call in 5 episodes.
Really? So I'm drawing calls.
This
That's pretty cool.
It's amazing.
Ah.
Well, it has a number at the top, so I was like, wow. You know, I want to call in and say hi.
Thanks, Morgan. Where are you?
Thank you, Morgan.
I'm pretty good. I'm just cleaning and stuff.
Good deal. What city are you in?
I don't really know where I'm at, actually.
What's your favorite
That's
Beach
terrifying.
Boy song?
What?
What's your favorite Beach Boy song?
Ooh, that's a difficult one. Yeah. They're all so good.
Aren't they,
right?
Probably God Only Knows.
Oh,
I like that one.
That's a great one. See, if you're a big Beach Boys fan, for me, I'm so into their obscure, like sad stuff. Like, I love Heroes and Villains, which a lot of people think is a weird song. Do you know that one?
No, I don't actually.
This is so
it was
is
written
it
by
weird?
Charlie Manson.
See, I'm a nerdy Beach Boys fan. I know all the strange stuff.
And, you know, even the weird songs, especially the weird songs. That's good.
That's well, I'm a little confused, though. How do you not know where you're at exactly? Are you in a trunk?
Well, actually, you know, I just ended up here. I just someone invited me. I don't know.
Okay. You're starting to scare us a little bit.
I know.
Now.
That's okay. You can keep a secret.
Are you safe? Are you trying to give us like a secret message?
I think she likes you.
Do you need help?
Yeah, actually, I do, but probably not help getting off the phone. So
No. I meant like, are you in danger? Because you don't know where you're at. I'm afraid for you.
I'm okay. I just sometimes I blank out. You know.
Okay.
Okay. You sound great. One question before you hang up. Is this your first time watching the show?
Actually, yeah.
Oh.
It is.
How do you like it
so far?
I
had seen Keith do stand-up before, so.
Oh, so she's in Southern California.
There you go.
Oh, you've seen me do stand-up?
She's got a fan.
Yeah.
Oh. Where'd you see me? Was I funny or was I horrible?
You were in Tustin, and you were funny. I thought you were funny.
Oh,
way to go, Keith.
That's awesome.
Nice.
I didn't know I had this thing called fans. This is cool. I thought she called for you.
Well, she's technically a Beach Boys fan.
Yeah.
But
you got in on it in the tailwind. Or the
Beach Boys are, you know, they're not really writing a lot of new music, so you can kind of count her as a fan now, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Essentially, yeah.
Good stuff. I'm glad Morgan called.
Yeah, this is cool. Thanks for calling,
Morgan.
So
you're sure you're okay? You don't need our help.
I'm definitely, I don't know. What are you offering?
Well, I just don't know where you're at. So I'm like, maybe, you know, you're not like
in
a Liam Neeson film right now, are you?
Hey, Morgan, I have a question.
No, I can't tell people where I'm at. It's not fair to the people who live here.
That's good.
That would be rude.
Do you have like a male friend?
I don't mean your address. I just mean the general idea of, because you know, people call in, hey, where are you at? Oh, I'm in Kansas City. Just something simple as that. But you don't have to tell us.
Well, I think that she's like the damsel in distress, and you're trying to save her. You know, like,
look,
this is like kinky role play on Razor Wrist.
Yeah, but you're coming with me, buddy.
Oh yeah, well,
you're the sidekick. We're buddy cops.
That sounds really dirty.
Oh, well, and we're called the Beach Boys. That's we just wrote a script. There it is.
Alan Lee doesn't like the dirty talk.
Alan, you're driving.
They want to include me in this
Alan's
routine,
driving.
Morgan, and I hope you're safe because I know you're dealing with some strange. No, thank you for calling in. That is so cool.
Well, yeah, you're totally welcome, and thank you for listening to me. And tell Johnny I love him.
Oh,
there you go,
Johnny.
She loves you.
And I take it that she loves me too.
Yeah,
I think she hung up. Oh well,
I think we scared her.
I don't know. That was weird. I've never had a phone call.
That's so
call
cool,
on this.
Man. You should. I mean, that's.
That's
I thought
cool.
That was really cool.
And then she said she saw me do stand up, and I was like,
"Well, there
she is." Anyone you else a little concerned by the "Tell Johnny I love him" at the end? You guys didn't hear that? That was a little odd.
I honestly think you tweeted it, and your ex girlfriend.
Oh, John. Well, thank you, Johnny.
I think
that's
what
sweet.
Happened.
No, that was nice of Johnny.
That was not the case.
That's not the case.
Oh,
that phone call kind of
a bonus for the podcast.
I don't even remember what we were talking about. She sounded cute though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most Morgans are cute.
Yeah, but, if that was her real name.
Yeah, it probably wasn't. Some ladies like to lie on air to protect their.
You know, Johnny is quite a pop culture guy. You know, with the Beach Boys and everything, and I've seen him allude to it on the show you were on the TV, the Access,
Access Live and all that stuff.
That one,
yeah.
I was very impressed with that because
thank you.
You knew your way around the pop culture, and I wanted to talk to you about either Quentin Tarantino or Clint Eastwood. But I had this funny thing I thought about villains.
Okay,
if you mixed pop villains like Hannibal Lecter and the Joker, where would the Wicked Witch of the East from Wizard of Oz fit in? Just we could riff on that. I thought it was if you have Hannibal Lecter, the Joker, and the Wicked Witch of the East in the same room, what would happen?
Sexually? What are we talking about exactly? I don't know where you're going with this. I'm very
confused. You would have these pop culture villains.
Yeah.
And it's funny because one is from Wizard of Oz and the other are a little more current.
Mm-hmm.
And one is from a comic book. So I just thought it was a neat mix of people.
Well, I mean, two of them are way more violent than the other.
Yes.
I don't really know what the witch ever did that was so bad.
No, she just had those, you know, she just was on a broom.
Right.
And she's an icon we all grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that competitively, you know, she has a hard time in the room. These, you know, with,
I mean, like, I'd give it to the.
Who would headline?
Which Joker?
Who would headline? We don't know which Joker. That's even better.
We talking Nicholson or Ledger? Because Ledger would
say,
it'd be
I
over.
Would say Ledger.
Oh, gosh.
Ledger would
are you
headline.
Kidding me? Ledger would destroy Lecter's old ass, and then he would have sex with the witch.
What about Cesar Romero, though?
Oh, who? Cesar Romero. The dog whisperer? What are you talking about?
He was the very first Joker.
I'm thinking of Cesar Milan, my bad.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Well, Johnny, the phone call kind of messed us up, but we only have 10 minutes left. And what we do after this and the end time is we play this game called Who Wrote Jokes? You know what I mean? I read you a joke.
Got it.
And I give you four answers, and you tell me who wrote it.
How many are we doing this evening?
Well, we'll do about until he wants to stop. Dad Fan only got one out of three, and he's like, I don't like this game.
It's a fun game.
It's a fun game. It's like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire,
okay,
but you don't get any money at the
end.
Yeah,
that's the only problem with
got
this.
Got it. But so you wait, I'm supposed to guess what comic wrote the joke?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, geez, it's not easy. Okay.
It's not easy.
It's not.
But
it's not.
But we test your comedy trivia, and it's good for the audience because they get to hear jokes.
They get to hear,
you know what I mean?
Play the game,
and they get to play the game.
The many
too.
People that are listening in right
recite
now.
Beach Boys lyrics. I guess
we'll do
you
that
know,
next
that'd be
time.
Funny, well, of course we.
I don't know. I don't have the Beach Boy question. What, we'll do it next
I'm
time.
I'm just kidding.
It's the second time two. When you comes back.
All right.
All right.
Ready?
Yes.
All right. Joke number one for Johnny LaCosta.
Whatever.
It says LaCosta. It's a sad fact that 50% of marriages in this country end in divorce, but hey, the other half end in death, so you could be one of the lucky ones. Was it A, Fred Stoller, B, Richard Jenny, C, Rodney Dangerfield, or D, Warren Thomas?
Whoa. I only know two of them.
All right.
It sounds like a Richard Jenny joke,
mm-hmm.
but... It's probably one of the two guys I don't know. It's definitely not Rodney, I don't think. It's not his style.
I'm with you.
Hey, you'd be the one of the lucky ones.
No, I don't see him doing that. I'm going to go with, I'll say Jenny.
He got it right.
Bingo.
Hey, how about
that?
He's one from one.
There you go.
All right.
Three God rest his soul.
Yeah. You'll like this one because it's kind of... Now MTV is running that Rock Against Drugs campaign. That's an awful way to look at whores against sex. Was it... A, Norm MacDonald, B, Richard Pryor, C, Mort Saul, or D, Bob Harris?
Oh, that's without a doubt Norm.
Yeah.
MTV's doing the Rock Against Drugs. And,
very good.
You know, I think it's kind of a odd way of saying whores against sex.
Very good.
Thanks.
It's a good.
Very good impression.
Yeah.
I love Norm.
I'm drunk.
Norm's one of my good buddies.
Nice.
I'm
a big fan.
All right, bingo. My parents sent my brother through law school. He graduated. Now he's suing them for wasting 7 years of his life. Was it A, Mike Binder, B, Fraser Smith, C, Damon Wayans, or D, Mark Sully?
It's definitely not. I know Frage. It's not a Fraser.
No.
It's definitely not Damon.
Yeah.
Who are the other two guys? Mike Binder and who?
Mark Sully.
I mean, I don't know either one of them. I'm gonna say D, Sully.
It was Mike Binder.
Oh,
so close.
Oh, Mike Binder is a brilliant comic.
Okay.
I thought you went on that.
No.
You should get this one. This one's easy.
I already got two out of three.
I know.
Cool.
You're
doing way well.
Yeah, you're doing better than Dat Fam. Oh. Dat Fam's in last place now.
Well, you should have done jokes where every joke ended with an impression of an Asian mom. He would have got everyone right.
Should have done that. I asked him one of his jokes, and he didn't know. Anyways, my parents threw me a going-away party, according to this letter. Was it A, Emo Phillips, B, Mitch Hedberg, C, Bill Cosby, or D, Dane Cook?
Oh, I'm going to go Emo.
Emo, he got it.
Nice.
Oh.
See, Johnny?
My parents threw me a going-away party.
Have you ever met
according
Emo?
According to this letter.
No, but he's in my favorite movie of all time.
Oh, Meet the Parents?
UHF.
Oh, UHF.
Mm-hmm. You ever see it? Weird Al Yankovic?
Never.
Debuted in 19... Just past 25-year anniversary.
Wow.
You continue to shock me.
Genius movie. Michael Richards before he was famous, Fran Drescher before she was famous, and it had Emo Phillips. He played a crazy shop teacher who chopped his finger.
I have heard of this film and not seen it, and now
man.
I must say I am forced to get it,
you
Johnny.
It's so good. You can watch it on YouTube, I'm sure.
I will tune in tonight.
Genius.
I don't know... Emo Phillips actually wrote Meet the Parents, and then it was like
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was like an earlier film, like in 94 or whatever, and then they remade it with Ben Stiller. So like he still got the written credit for that one.
Good for him.
But you know, so that's a little trivia.
Yeah, it's so funny in UHF.
Yeah. I know that according to IMDb. Anyway, anyways, next joke. My father taught me about the birds and the bees. He didn't know anything about girls. Was it A, Dan Cook, B, Margaret Cho, C, Eddie Walker, or D, Joey Adams?
I mean, I only know Margaret out of those four.
You don't know Dan Cook?
I think you said Dan Cook.
Oh, I thought you said Dan Cook. Dane Cook.
Oh, maybe.
No, it's not Dane.
No, it's not Dane Cook.
Probably not Margaret, because it's the birds and the bees joke.
Not her. God leaves us with...
Who are the other two?
Who are the other
two? C and D?
Eddie Walker and Joey Adams.
I'm going to say Eddie Walker.
No, it was Joey Adams.
Oh, oh man. I keep guessing wrong on the dudes I don't know.
That can happen.
Dang it.
That's good. All right, we'll do two more, and then we'll head out. That phone call, usually we
7:44.
Yeah, we got to be out by 7:50.
We like they kick us out. Yeah, yeah. Finally. They
there's an 8 o'clock show that has nothing to do
with
me.
They give us the light.
They give us the light.
Can we sit in on the 8 o'clock show and just crash it?
We could.
All right.
I'll do it.
Let's do that.
All right. Okay. I'm living on a one-way dead-end street. I don't know how I got there. Was it A, Michael Keaton, B, Stephen Wright?
Michael Keaton, the actor?
Yeah. What? He did stand-up. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh. Yeah. Yes, he did. He was a big star.
Was it A, Keaton, B, Stephen Wright, C, Jamie Kennedy, or D, Mike Epps?
Definitely not Mike Epps. Definitely not Jamie Kennedy. I'm going to say Stephen Wright.
You got it right, folks.
Oh, this is a... My parents just saw him.
Oh, really?
Like less than a month ago. He came to their town, well, close to their town, then went to see him.
I'd love to see that show, man.
Yeah. That's they said he did no opener, legit just walked on stage, and I think did like 90 minutes.
90 minutes?
Crazy, right?
He's so...
Oh, I can't. I that's amazing.
Especially with Stephen Wright's style. Do you know how many jokes he must have told?
Oh, a lot.
No opener, nothing. Just walked out on stage.
It's funny because he's never in Los Angeles.
I don't recall
him. I would love to see him.
Well, there's certain comics that don't feel like leaving. Like, I know one of my favorite comics is Ted Alexandro, and I've still never seen him in person because I never get to go to New York, but he hardly ever leaves the East Coast. He'll come out here to do, like, a late night set, like on, like, Ferguson or something. Other than that, never leaves the East Coast because he likes New York. He doesn't, you know, want to come out this way. And I'm assuming he's writing on TV shows, so he doesn't have to really, you know, travel a whole lot. But yeah, I'd love to. I wish he would come out here. He's one of my favorite people.
Yeah.
But I haven't met him.
We can't do any more jokes. I just got the signal. But let's count how many you got.
I think I got 5 out of 7.
You got 4 out of 6.
Man.
Well, much better than Dad Fan.
This is a world champion tonight.
Yeah.
And then he gets credit for the Beast Boy trivia.
Angelo Zarukas got 11.
Out of how many?
How many?
We gave him more, though.
We did 14.
Like 14.
That's pretty good, though.
But that was when we had an hour.
Sure.
When we didn't have an 8 o'clock show.
I mean, hey.
I think you could have got it.
And I got us a phone call.
You got us a phone call. So you got us fans.
Exactly.
Okay, Johnny.
Johnny got us a phone call.
I don't know how many more comics bring in phone calls.
Is there anything you want to promote before we head out?
Sure.
Please do.
Yes. A lot of things. Let's see. I got a film coming out. Go to thethumbwrestler.com, like thumb wrestling, thethumbwrestler.com. You can check the trailer out, check the website out, like the Facebook page, all that stuff.
Thumbwrestler.com.
If you like pro wrestling, I got a show on the Nerdist Network. It's real simple, at Wrestling Buds on Twitter.
I like pro wrestling.
It's amazing. You'll love it. It's called the Wrestling Compadre Slamcast. That's really good. And I'm hosting a new show about the DC movie universe for the Schmoes Know Network. Ooh. So go to schmoesknow.com, S-C-H-M-O-E-S, K-N-O-W.com. And actually, our first episode debuts tomorrow.
Excellent. Wow. Yeah. Busy man.
Trying to be.
Oh, you have a Twitter that people can add you or follow
you? Yes. Do you have
at
a Twitter?
At Jay Quasto, J-Q-U-A-S-T-O, or JLOcomedy.com.
Right. Jay Quasto.
And I'm Keith Reza at Keith Reza, and you're going to laugh at this one. Follow Alan at?
At Alan Lee Commie, and I am not a communist.
That's amazing.
I'm really tired of that accusation. And,
you could change that, you know.
I know. You know what? He didn't tell me how to change it.
I don't know.
It's really easy.
Johnny, this man
we're
going to
change it up.
I'm telling you on
he
purpose.
He doesn't tell me
we're
anything.
We're going to show him after the show. Horrible. Johnny, you've been great, man. Thanks
Thank
for
you
having
me.
You've been
much.
Fantastic,
been funny.
Sir.
Thanks
All
a lot.
Right, guys. See you next week.
Thank you.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.